You're listening to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. Here in Los Angeles, it's Tuesday, December the 10th, 2013. In the top of the news today, I bring you the Harper's Weekly Review, also dated December 10th, 2013. Former South African president, anti-apartheid leader, and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Nelson Mandela died in Johannesburg at the age of 95. Our nation has lost a colossus, an epitome of humility, equality, justice, peace, and the hope of millions here and abroad, said the African National Congress. He really was like a magician with a magic wand, turning us into this glorious, multicolored rainbow people, said Desmond Tutu. May we as Christians in this Afrikaans church surprise the world, said Pastor Naiki Lamprecht of the Dutch Reformed Church in Pretoria, by not responding with hate. Mandela's body was taken to the capital city of Pretoria, where Tembu tribal leaders will perform a ceremony called the Closing of the Eyes in order to commune with Mandela's ancestors and ease his passage into the afterlife. En route to his childhood village of Kwinu, where he will be interred, President Barack Obama, Pope Francis, Queen Elizabeth II, British Prime Minister David Cameron, the Dalai Lama, former U.S. Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, singers Bono and Annie Lennox, talk show host Oprah Winfrey, and model Naomi Campbell were planning to travel to South Africa for memorial services, while a spokesman for former President George H.W. Bush said that Bush was no longer able to travel long distance. He'll be with them, said a spokesman, in spirit. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly noted that Mandela was a great man, but a communist, and Senator Rick Santorum, Republican Pennsylvania, likened Mandela's fight against injustice to Republican opposition to the Affordable Health Care Act. The Anti-Defamation League objected to Kanye West's claim during a radio interview that President Obama was struggling because black people don't have the same level of connections as Jewish people, and Obama celebrated the end of Hanukkah at two separate White House receptions before lighting the national Christmas tree. To honor the 150th anniversary of the painter Edvard Munch's birth, the Norwegian embassy in Washington, D.C., decorated a Christmas tree with 700 ornaments featuring the distorted face of the man depicted in the Scream paintings. It symbolizes all the angst, said Ambassador Kare As, in preparing for an excellent Christmas. France and the African Union announced plans to deploy several thousand additional troops in the Central African Republic, where clashes between Christians and Muslims killed nearly 400 people in the worst violence since the predominantly Muslim Seleka coalition overthrew the government in March. They are slaughtering us, said Apollinaire Donoboy, a Christian, like chickens. Thai Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawatra dissolved the country's lower house of parliament and called early elections after more than 150 lawmakers from the Democrat Party resigned en masse to join street demonstrations, and protesters at anti-government rallies in Kiev toppled and decapitated a statue of Vladimir Lenin, then took turns beating the headless torso. It's a revolution, said opposition leader Ole Tianyabok of Dignity. North Korea deported Merrill Newman, an 85-year-old Korean War veteran with a heart condition who had been detained on suspicion of espionage for over a month, citing his sincere repentance and advanced age and health condition. Obviously, that's not my English, said Merrill, of a videotaped apology released by the country. Irish online bookmaker Paddy Power announced plans to sponsor retired NBA star Dennis Rodman's upcoming trip to North Korea to train the country's basketball team, which will play an exhibition game against former NBA players in January, and Delta canceled a commercial flight from Gainesville, Florida, to Atlanta in order to make the plane available to the University of Florida men's basketball team. For some people, said a passenger, it was an important inconvenience. A North Dakota woman was discovered to have a glass meth pipe and a syringe hidden in her vagina, and a grand jury in Manhattan indicted a man for assault following an incident in which police fired on him while he was unarmed and wounded two bystanders. Wow. A motorist driving southbound to South Riding, Virginia, hit a deer that flew through the air and struck a jogger. And the city of Milwaukee revealed plans to enhance road salt by mixing it with cheese brine. The only other type of de-icing that I've heard of was like beet juice, said a newspaper delivery man, which seems real impractical. Alzheimer's Disease International predicted a worldwide epidemic of dementia. In North Grimston, a West Highland Terrier named Joey successfully mated with Zara, a Rottweiler twice his size, producing the world's first known litter of Watties. And in Norfolk, six black-tipped reef sharks, a bonnethead shark, a bowmouth guitar shark, six penguins, and a green sea turtle were evacuated from the Hunstanton Sea Life Sanctuary because of flooding. An escaped circus elephant named Mia wandered the suburbs of Rome for 2 hours before her capture during a moment of indecision at a traffic roundabout. A Daly City, California man was charged with biting his parents after they told him he couldn't see the family cat. And Matthew Tyler Webb and Audrey Mayo of Lafayette, Georgia were reportedly dating after Webb out hunting after consuming several drugs, mistook Mayo for a deer, and shot her in the knee. A caveman, said Mayo's sister, used to bash a woman over the head with a club. This article penned by Sarah Breslor. And for my final news item today, I'd like to bring you something from thehuntingtonpost.com, HuffPost Politics, the blog. This was written by Will Bunch, author of Tear Down This Myth. The world's next Mandela is rotting in jail somewhere. Posted 12/09/2013. I was offline, at least metaphorically, when news broke that Nelson Mandela had passed away. Thus, I had the luxury of reflecting for a couple of days and watching a flurry of other stories whiz past in a blur. It's remarkable how in our digital 21st century that any global event, but especially the passing of such an iconic world leader as the freedom fighter who became South Africa's first black president, becomes a prism through which we funnel our view of the world, no matter how narrow. Sometimes it can be silly, Mandela the movie inspiration, or Mandela the rugby enthusiast. And sometimes it can be frustrating, especially when people with polar opposite beliefs try in some way graft his greatness onto their own cause. But at heart, the music of Nelson Mandela and his life is what another icon of the so-called Third World, Bob Marley, might have called a redemption song for his ideals and for the rest of us, and came to believe or at least accept them. His notion that freedom and justice would happen for the downtrodden black people of apartheid-era South Africa, and his ability to hold on to that belief during 27 remarkable years in prison, never once wavered. That's because he never lost faith that the rest of the world, the people who were calling him a terrorist and dismissing his pleas for equality as communism, would come to the rightness of his view. To me, what's amazing is not so much that this happened, but that it happens more than you would think. This weekend, many noted the unmistakable parallels between Mandela and the late Dr. Martin Luther King, freedom fighters who were vilified and imprisoned early in their life, only to become great national heroes. The one difference is that in America, Dr. King didn't live to see his political beatification, a type of reverence that has both its good and weak points. As Bob Herbert wrote the other day, I knew that the tributes would be pouring in immediately from around the world, and I also knew that most of them would try to do to Mandela what has been done to the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., turn him into a lovable, platitudinous, cardboard character whose commitment to peace and willingness to embrace enemies would make everybody feel good. The reality, he noted, is a lot more complicated. These aren't the only people who went from behind bars to great moral triumph, and even the leadership of their country, both Poland's Lech Walesa and the Czech Republic's Václav Havel, seemed to be fighting a lost cause in taking on the totalitarianism of the Iron Curtain, yet emerged victorious. Look at Muhammad Ali, who had to go all the way to the Supreme Court to avoid prison during the Vietnam era and later became an ambassador and a symbol of this country. It doesn't always happen. Repression can be a cruelly effective tool, and there are many fundamentally evil regimes that remain empowered all over the globe. Still, when we think about these moments when a man or a woman with an idea can't be contained by the iron bars around them, when something as graceful as a belief in justice and equal rights can defeat tanks and police dogs and fire hoses, it gives all of us something to hold on to, a reminder that Dr. King was speaking truth when he said famously that the moral arc of universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Yet it's also hard to suppress the thought that a large number of the good citizens who today heap praise upon the late South African president about his belief not just in justice but in democratic elections, in working with his rivals while still protecting the rights of a minority, which in this case of Mandela's homeland happens to be white, are the same kinds of folks, and in some cases the actual same people, who once celebrated his branding as a terrorist, who were grateful that he was behind bars. It is a sad thing of human nature, our desire to be a member of the herd and to chortle at the misfortune of the rebels who dare to question the status quo, at least until he or she wins. When a great man like Nelson Mandela passes, it's also common to wonder if we'll ever see his kind again. But there's no doubt that the Nelson Mandelas and Martin Luther Kings and Václav Havels of the 21st century are striding among us. But you can't see it, because if he or she was shaking hands with world leaders and greeted by adoring throngs and serenaded by children's choirs, then they wouldn't be the next true Mandela or King or Havel. No, the next Nelson Mandela of the world is rotting in a jail cell tonight, just like Mandela nearly withered for 27 years on Robben Island. Or he is on someone's terrorist watch list, or she is segregated and searched every time she travels through an international airport. Somewhere government spies are reading the emails of the next Nelson Mandela. They are tracking his cell phone and listening to his calls or monitoring her meetings with their undercover cops. Many of the other people who today are uttering bland platitudes about the dead Mandela will go back tomorrow to heaping scorn on the living ones. They are the shameless radio hosts and TV pundits and their army of ditto heads who see an advocate for justice and call him a communist, who look at someone who wants to liberate her people and brand her a terrorist, who find someone willing to live in a tent city to call attention to inequality and call them a urine-soaked rapist, who lash out at someone who dares to believe in peace as naive or a dirty bleeping hippie. The next Martin Luther King or Aung San Suu Kyi could be anywhere right now advocating for gay rights in Putin's repressive Russia, playing the piano in front of a line of riot police in Kiev, or getting arrested in Raleigh to fight for the voting rights of minorities and young people, or growing up in a small village in Pakistan, dreaming of peace even after a flying robot has killed his neighbors. Today, Vaclav Havel is fighting for the unspeakable today so that the unspeakable will be normal by the time that he or she is old and dead. Gay rights are his segregated water fountains. Economic inequality is her apartheid. Fracking is his mercury poisoning. The Nelson Mandela of the 21st century is right here, right now. We just can't see him. We're too busy spitting on him and calling him a terrorist. Get the point? Think bigger. And that's the end of the news today. So be good to each other in the coming week, people. Merry Christmas and stay out of the news.